Radio Prague News. Water levels in the northeastern part of the Czech Republic are subsiding, but many towns remain on flood alert. The German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder has welcomed the Czech government's apology for mistreating Sudeten Germans who opposed the Nazi regime and remained loyal to Czechoslovakia during World War II. And the country's new Gripen fighter jets were sent out on their first mission to help a Turkish plane which lost radio connection with air control. Water levels in the northeastern part of the Czech Republic are subsiding, but many towns remain on flood alert following days of heavy rain. Dozens of people had to be evacuated from their homes on Wednesday after unexpectedly heavy rainfall led to flooding in some areas. The high alert was triggered chiefly by conditions in Ostrava, where the Ostravice River burst its banks during the day and flooded surrounding streets. The flooding also affected the towns of Bohumín, Havířov and Český Těšín, where many people reported water in their cellars. A huge clean-up operation is now underway. The German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder has welcomed the Czech government's apology for mistreating Sudeten Germans who opposed the Nazi regime and remained loyal to Czechoslovakia during World War II. In a telephone conversation with the Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, Chancellor Schröder described it as an act of political courage, which he said was much appreciated. The gesture was directed to a narrow group of Sudeten Germans who were caught up in the violent post-war expulsions, despite the fact that they had actively opposed the Nazi regime and never betrayed Czechoslovakia. The country's new Gripen fighter jets were sent out on their first mission on Thursday to help a Turkish plane which had lost radio connection with air control. The passenger plane, flying from Istanbul to Hamburg, was escorted by the Czech pilots to Germany, where it was taken over by German fighter jets. The Czech Republic has leased 12 Gripen fighter jets from Sweden to replace the outdated Soviet-made MiG-21s. Another Czech victim of last December's tsunami disaster has been identified in Thailand. The victim is a 25-year-old woman from Prague. 8 Czechs perished in the tsunami disaster. 7 of them have so far been identified. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday is expected to be partly cloudy with day temperatures between 18 and 22 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You tune to Radio Prague. I'm Pavla Horáková. In today's program, you win some, you lose some. Belgium's Anderlecht find out to their cost in Prague. An exhibition in Prague pays tribute to the legendary ice hockey coach Ivan Hlinka, who died last year. And a rare bison has strayed into Bohemian mountains from Poland. We have that as well as a roundup of this week's business stories, so please stay tuned. Czech football suffered a major embarrassment on Wednesday when a thief broke into the locker rooms during a Champions League qualifying match between Slavia Praha and Belgium's Anderlecht. The thief made off with Anderlecht's players' passports, cash and valuables, estimated at more than 15,000 euros. Rob Cameron has been following the story and joins me now. Rob, first of all, how did this happen?
Well, that's what the police want to know, Pavla. The theft happened at Prague's Strahov Stadium during the match between Slavia and Anderlecht, which Anderlecht went on to win. According to reports in the media, a man dressed in an Anderlecht tracksuit approached stewards near their dressing room, claiming to be delivering bottled water to the players. The man somehow opened the door of the dressing room. According to one paper, he had a key and got inside.
Right, so what was actually stolen?
Well, when players returned, they found passports, cash, jewellery and other items stolen. One player, Paar Zetterberg, lost his Rolex watch, 1,500 euros in cash, and even his insulin injections. He's a diabetic. Not even Anderlecht's only Czech player, goalkeeper Daniel Zitka, was spared. His passport and jewellery were stolen, and the thief even used his bag to make off with the loot. He was obviously disgusted with the whole incident. I come back to the Czech Republic for the first time in years, he told the media, and this happens, the cheek of it.
Well, this is obviously a highly embarrassing incident, and not just for Czech football.
Very much so. Slavia have apologised to Anderlecht, but the incident could have wider ramifications. Prague already has a rather dismal reputation as a haven for pickpockets and crooked taxi drivers who prey on tourists. But one would have thought that top-level footballers would be able to visit the Czech Republic without being relieved of their personal belongings. So this incident is certainly not good for Prague's image as a tourist destination. Earlier, I spoke to Tomio Okamura from the Czech Association of Travel Agents and Tour Operators.
It is a very negative signal for most wealthy clients, yes, because they are very scared regarding any problems, regarding pickpockets and so on. So, but it is exactly clients which we want to invite to Czech Republic from now.
If you have a message for those wealthy clients, potential tourists to this country, yes. After this theft in Strahov, what is that message? What would you like to say to them?
I want to say that don't be worried, because we all working to make Czech Republic safe destination. Yes, so don't be worried and come and enjoy Czech Republic without any problem.
And that's Tomio Okamura from the Czech Association of Travel Agents and Tour Operators, hoping, Pavla, that the robbery won't put off potential tourists.
Thank you very much for that, Rob. Just over a year ago, the Czech Republic lost one of its great sports heroes. Former hockey player and later national team coach Ivan Hlinka was killed in a car accident at the height of his fame. A year on, an exhibition has opened in Prague as a tribute to the man who led the Czech hockey team from one victory to another. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Sam there from the Winter Olympics in Nagano in 1998, a victory which proved to be Hlinka's greatest triumph. Last year, his fatal accident cut short his plans for yet another world title. The Czech team vowed to win this year's world championship in Vienna as a tribute to their late coach, and they did in a breathtaking final against Canada. The team returned home bearing the cup with a picture of Hlinka tucked inside for the cheering crowds to see. A year after his death, the National Museum in Prague has opened an exhibition documenting Hlinka's life and brilliant career on the ice. A series of silver hockey cups documents Hlinka's early victories, but there are also many artifacts relating to his private life. Hlinka was an amateur painter, woodcarver, and an enthusiastic golfer. The museum's director, Michal Lukeš, says he is proud to host the exhibition.
Takže já si myslím, že to byl člověk, který prostě uměl rozdávat radost celému národu a pro Česko.
I think Hlinka was a man who gave the nation many happy moments, and if you ask me, he did more for the country's image than a whole army of diplomats.
Národu a pro Českou republiku toho udělal mnohem víc než celá armáda diplomatů, si myslím.
The visitor's book at the gallery shows just how true that is. There are enthusiastic comments from tourists from around the world, among them Great Britain, Sweden, Italy, Canada, the United States, and even Japan. One of the Czech visitors said that he travelled to Prague from Most, a town that's close to Hlinka's birthplace.
On je z Litvínova a my jsme z Mostu, takže jsme hodně znali tejto pána.
Hlinka was from Litvínov and we're from Most, so we often saw him around. And it was great. I went to school with many of the hockey players, Ručinský and Lang, and you could say that he treated them as if they were his own children.
Ručinský, Lang, ty ze školy, že to vidím, to byly jeho děti, by se dalo říct.
Hlinka's tragic death was a blow for the Czech national team. He was replaced by another Czech hockey legend, Vladimír Růžička, who proved a worthy successor when the team won in Vienna this year. But Růžička decided not to stay for good, and now the national team is to be coached by Alois Hadamčík, who has yet to prove himself. So, is Hlinka irreplaceable? Here's how one hockey fan put it.
Vždycky budeme chtít vyhrávat. Jestli byl Ivan nebo nebude Ivan, budeme pokud chtít vyhrávat.
We'll always want to win, with Ivan or without him. We'll always play to win.
And there's no question at all that that's exactly what Ivan Hlinka would have wanted to hear.
That was Daniela Lazarová, and the exhibition called Hlinka the Legend is open at the National Museum at the top of Wenceslas Square until the end of October. They once used to roam around Europe in large herds, but since the Middle Ages, they have been on the verge of extinction. We are talking about the European bison, a close relative of the American buffalo. Bison are believed to have disappeared from the Czech lands many centuries ago, but this week one, or perhaps a couple, was spotted in the woods of the Jizerské mountains in North Bohemia. The animal is believed to have strayed into the area from Poland, where bison are bred in game parks. The closest one is about 300 kilometers away from the North Bohemian district of Friedland, where the bison was spotted. Forester Jaroslav Macháček is one of the lucky few who've seen the rare animal.
O zubrovi jsem věděl, že se tady vyskytuje v našem frýdlantském výběžku, ale nepředpokládal jsem, že...
Well, a colleague phoned me and described to me the place where he'd just seen the bison grazing, so I took my cameras and I drove there. First I saw hoof prints on the grass, and then I saw the animal about 25 meters away from me, lying on the ground, chewing the cud, and paying absolutely no attention to me. So I took a few photos, a few shots. The conditions weren't ideal, but as documentary material for me, it's good enough.
Rozechvělí ty záběry, ale pro mě jako dokument to bylo dostačující.
Jaroslav Macháček estimates the bison is about 2 meters tall and weighs 700 to 800 kilograms. He saw the animal at an altitude of 900 meters above sea level, which he says isn't the bison's natural environment. Judging from its hoof prints, it stayed there for a couple of days and then moved downhill, where there is more food on offer, such as unharvested fields, the leaves of deciduous trees, and plants. Because the bison has been spotted on quite a large area, some believe there might even be more than one animal roaming around the Friedland district. Bison, or zubr in Czech, used to be plentiful in Bohemia, as we can still see from the names of villages, Zubří, Zuberec, Zubrnice. But their greatest enemy, man, caused the bison population in Europe to shrink to only hundreds. The Czech Republic has only around 40 head of bison living in zoos. The wild specimen that was spotted this week will probably not stay for long. It is likely to wander away soon from the densely populated Czech Republic in search of quieter pastures. You are tuned to Radio Prague, and now for our regular roundup of business stories, I'm joined by David Vaughan.
The California State Public Employees Investment Fund, known as CalPERS, has released its ranking of emerging market countries. CalPERS controls a $4 billion portfolio, and its rankings are closely watched by investment houses. It ranked the Czech Republic as having the second most attractive investment climate in the category. Hungary ranked first, and Poland third, followed by Chile and Taiwan.
Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi is to open an office in Prague within 2 months' time to meet the growing demand from Japanese investors for localized banking services. The government agency Czech Invest said the bank informed of its plans to open a fully operational branch in 2006.
EMV of Luxembourg this week launched an arbitration case against the Czech state with regard to the company's failed investment into TV3, a broadcast station. EMV is seeking $45 million for allegedly illegal actions taken by Czech official bodies, in particular the Radio and Television Council. The focus of the arbitration case is the Broadcast Council's refusal to transfer the TV3 license to a company linked to EMV, and the council's approval of a license transfer to another broadcaster, RTV Galaxy. The license then passed to a holding company that broadcasts the competing TV Prima station.
Since the expansion of the European Union last May, over 230,000 workers from the new member states have registered for work in the United Kingdom. More than half of the workers are from Poland, the UK government said. Included in the total are some 14,000 Czechs and 24,000 Slovaks. Most are employed in factories and on farms, or work in restaurants or in construction.
And finally, the Israeli vegetarian food producer Tival has announced it will build a new factory in the Czech Republic at a cost of $30 million. Exports to Europe account for over half of the company's sales. It supplies major retailers like Tesco of the United Kingdom and Delhaize of Belgium, both of which operate in the Czech Republic. Currently, Tival's production is handled entirely by a cooperative, or kibbutz, in Israel. The Czech factory will specialise in vegetarian hamburgers and other meatless patties.
And David Vaughan stays in the studio for this week's arts. Nikdo nám to nevěří, že lítali jsme na koštěti. Křížem, krážem, krážem, křížem nad rájem dětí.
Children singing from the Disman Ensemble, one of the great Czech cultural institutions. Founded by the teacher and broadcaster Miloslav Disman in 1935, it is celebrating its 70th birthday this year. The ensemble is attached to Czech Radio, and all its members are children and teenagers. Every year it puts on plays, concerts and other performances, many of them broadcast on Czech Radio. This summer, six members of the ensemble are involved in a rather unusual cultural exchange. They spent a week in the Japanese city of Kyoto, one of Prague's twin cities, on the invitation of a local radio station. Three teenagers from Kyoto also spent a week here in Prague. For the rest of today's edition of The Arts, I talk to the six ensemble members who travelled to Kyoto about their impressions and experiences.
My name's Jakub.
I'm Jiří.
My name's Lukáš.
I'm John.
And I'm John.
And my name is Franta.
And you've all just come back from Japan. Could you tell me a little bit about what you were doing there?
It was a project called Radio Bridge Prague Kyoto, and the Disman's ensemble from the Czech Radio cooperated in this project with Radio Café Sanjo, Sanjo Radio Café.
And what's that?
A small radio station in Kyoto.
And Kyoto is the twin town of Prague,
isn't it? Yes, too. And we were supported by the Czech embassy in Japan. We were supported by Czech Radio and the City Hall of Prague as well.
And so what was the object of your trip?
The theme was to explore and learn about the Japan, about the country and about the people there, and also to collect some radio materials, which could be then broadcasted. In September, we're going to make a program for the Czech Radio from these sounds.
And so you were out there recording interviews with people, recording sounds. What sort of things did you record?
Right. Well, we were basically recording the interviews with tourists and with the local people there as well.
And you were in Japan just at the time of the anniversary of the first atomic bomb in Hiroshima and then in Nagasaki. I gather that you actually took part in the commemorations, didn't you?
We went there for the ceremony on Saturday, the 6th of August, and we took part of the ceremony, and then we visited the Hiroshima Memorial and the museum.
What were your impressions on that day?
I wanted to cry because we were interviewing a woman who survived the atomic bomb, so it was hard.
It was quite moving as well. In fact, it was a part of the project to learn more about the events of the Second World War. 14 days ago, when Japanese girls came to Prague, they met a survivor of Terezín.
That's the concentration camp north of Prague.
Yes, exactly. And, well, they learned a lot about how we felt here, Second World War. And then, only 1 week later, we interviewed a survivor of Hiroshima bombing. So it was really a bridge, another bridge between those two experiences.
And did you find when you were in Japan that the Japanese people that you met knew anything about the Czech Republic, where it is, what sort of country it is?
Well, when we went to one of the temples, we asked tourists and also Japanese people if they know Czech Republic, if they've been there. But some did know, and some just didn't know where it was.
Did some people have sort of really completely crazy ideas about what the Czech Republic might be?
Yes, we interviewed one man, and he was from Beverly Hills. And when he started talking about it, and he started saying, well, yes, Yugoslavia, it's got very nice beaches, and I think It's amazing, really.
It's the famous sea coast of Bohemia.
But on the other hand, I met some Japanese people really familiar with the Czech culture. They know a lot about Dvořák and Smetana. I was amazed. And some of them even have read Karel Čapek's novel.
So even Czech literature is known in Japan. Tell me something about some of your biggest impressions, or your biggest experience that meant a lot to you while you were there, or that took you by surprise while you were there.
Well, I was sort of surprised by all the monuments, because in Japan they were made of wood, while in Europe we have them made of stone. Yeah, and also the wires, the electric wires, they have them above the ground. Well, in Europe, we have them under the ground.
So wherever you go, you see electric wires.
Yeah. We're not used to it, but it's like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And they actually have that because they have the big earthquakes. So if they have an earthquake, the electric doesn't, you know, stop or anything. It's just above the ground, so it can go all the time.
And were there any other sort of strong impressions or surprises that you thought, wow, I didn't think that was going to be like that in Japan?
I was impressed in Tokyo, because Tokyo is big city, and in Tokyo is, I think, 12 million people, and it's wonderful city.
We're sitting in a studio now in Prague. I gather that you had your own experience of being in a radio studio in Kyoto as well, is that right?
Yeah.
They were interviewing us about the project Radio Bridge Prague-Kyoto, and about our impressions of Japan.
This trip that you made and this exchange that you made in Japan, it's all part of a broader project, isn't it, of building bridges between the Czech Republic and Japan. Could you tell me a little bit more about the project in the broader sense?
Well, yes, it was part of a cooperation between Prague and Kyoto. The author of this project was Tetsuro Matsura, and he just came up with an idea that even though Kyoto is a partner city to Prague, only the high-position delegation just exchanged and visited one or the other city. So he wanted really to people to travel approximately 10,000 kilometers and to meet and to learn more about different cultures.
So it wouldn't just be politicians and bureaucrats who would take advantage of the exchange. And so, I mean, what sort of inspiration has it given you, this trip? I mean, you're all members of a very famous ensemble here in the Czech Republic, the Dissman Ensemble. Has it given you some inspiration or some ideas maybe that you can develop from your trip to Japan? You already mentioned the radio program, for example.
Definitely. I want to learn more about Japanese theater. That's kind of a message of this trip for me.
I want to learn about Japan generally.
And tell me, did you manage to pick up a little bit of Japanese while you were there?
Yes, we can, for example, introduce ourselves.
Oh, well, please do.
Boko no Czeko Radio Group.
That means we are a group from Czech Radio.
I wish I knew how to answer that in Japanese. Is there anything else you know how to say in Japanese?
For example, Choto mate means wait a minute.
Well, there will be some people listening to this program in Japan. We have several Japanese listeners, so they'll be able to write back to us and confirm whether your pronunciation was loud and clear over the airwaves. To all of you, thank you very much indeed for joining me here in the studio, and I hope that we'll have a chance to talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Aha, se ha.
The Arts with David Vaughan has brought us to the end of the show. Please tune in again tomorrow or look up our website, www.radio.cz, where you can find all our programs in sound and text. The address to write to is Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or English at radio.cz. From me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here in Prague, it's goodbye now and thanks for listening.
Čokolády, ňam, 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 ňam. Všude samá.